Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the host of Podcast DX. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Britt Clark about lupus. Britt is a patient leader, a patient advocate, a blogger, a graphic designer, a mother. I should have put that first. A lupus warrior and a kidney cancer survivor.
Hi, Britt.
Hi, Britt. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, that's wonderful. Can you please start us off by telling us exactly what is lupus?
Okay, sure. Lupus is an autoimmune disease. This means that your immune system attacks healthy cells and tissues by mistake. It can attack various parts of your body, including like joints, skin, kidneys, and even the brain. 9 out of 10 people with lupus are women, but it does actually affect men as well.
Yeah, oh, it is kind of weird that when you think lupus, you think women first, but it doesn't discriminate.
The same thing with fibromyalgia, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
The first thing that comes to mind is a women's disease, but nope. I think the only thing that we've got is pregnancy.
Right now.
Yeah.
Technically, well, okay, we won't go there.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there has been a transplant, but anyway, there has been a transplant where, yeah.
Right.
You know, okay.
Britt, could you tell, I was just wondering, could you tell us what a lupus flare is and what causes symptoms to flare?
Yeah, a flare, it's kind of like a period. Some people can only last for a few days. Other people, it could be weeks or even months, but the flare itself is just, you know, like a time frame of when maybe symptoms are kind of flaring or coming out. And, stress is a major flare trigger for me personally, and any sort of exposure to the sun.
Okay. And let me backtrack a little bit. What signs and symptoms did you first notice, and what led you to, you know, seek medical care? And what are the typical signs and symptoms of lupus, if you don't mind telling us about that as well?
For me personally, I first noticed, I guess, that something was wrong was when I was pregnant with my youngest son.
Okay.
Starting at like 16 weeks pregnant, I started having like really bad joint pain and swelling in my hands and feet, and also like one side of my pelvis.
Okay.
I had like really bad fatigue that just, I mean, would not go away. And basically, my OB doctors kept telling me the pain and fatigue were like normal part of pregnancy, but I hadn't, you know, experienced anything that drastic in my first pregnancy. So I think that was my first clue that like something wasn't right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
At that time.
Okay.
Right.
And how long did it take for you to actually get a diagnosis? And were they able to conduct like specific tests that led to your diagnosis?
It took me about 3 years to get a lupus diagnosis. I gave birth to my youngest son in April of 2013, and I got my official lupus diagnosis in April of 2016.
Oh, that's a long time.
Unfortunately, there's not like a single test alone that can make a diagnosis of lupus. Getting like an accurate diagnosis is based upon like certain criteria that must be met, and that includes like clinical criteria and symptoms and like immunological criteria with like various lab tests like the ANA, anti-cfDNA, and some others.
Okay.
Britt, earlier you mentioned about some joint pain and all that. What are some other symptoms that people experience with lupus?
It can vary definitely according to each patient, but a lot of people with lupus experience the joint pain and swelling, the photosensitivity to the sun, various skin rashes, including like the infamous butterfly rash that a lot of lupus patients get on their face. The fatigue and malaise, the big one, mouth and nasal sores, hear a lot. Those are kind of like the most common, but I mean, it definitely branches out further, you know, for each specific patient.
Oh, sure. Everybody's a unique person.
Right.
Yep.
And how did your healthcare team decide to treat your lupus?
originally, when I was first diagnosed, I was put on hydroxychloroquine and prednisone to kind of help reduce the inflammation I was having. About 6 to 8 months in, I was still not really in a good place. I was having a lot of symptoms still. My labs were still showing activity. And at that time, my rheumatologist decided to add in some additional medications. Currently, I'm still on hydroxychloroquine, but I also take methotrexate and Benlysta. And currently I'm on prednisone, although I'm working really hard to taper off of them, but it's hard to come off of steroids.
Right, right. And I understand that you also are dealing with trigeminal neuralgia and you had kidney cancer. So you've been through so much. And I've heard that there is a potential link between traumatic injuries and autoimmune disease. So looking back, do you think that lupus was in part exacerbated by the other health concerns that you're dealing with?
For the cancer, I don't think, because I was just diagnosed with that this past fall.
Okay.
But the trigeminal neuralgia kind of, when I was actually diagnosed with that really, really shortly before I got a lupus diagnosis. And at that time, like, they didn't really know why I had it. So after, you know, I've had it for a couple of years now, I can kind of see, I feel that it actually flares up more with, like, in regards to my lupus flares,
because
when my lupus is under control, like, I haven't really experienced a lot of the trigeminal neuralgia flares.
Okay.
So I kind of feel like it might be opposite.
Okay.
In my case.
Right. Well, that's good, though.
Yeah.
Because trigeminal neuralgia is very difficult to control.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and actually, I was going to ask if, have you ever tried ketamine? Or has, you know, your healthcare provider ever mentioned ketamine for treating the trigeminal neuralgia?
No, I for a while was on like baclofen and tegretol and I think gabapentin. And then once I really noticed that even now, if I have a really bad lupus flare, it seems, I feel like it triggers that. And they can never make a link between the two. But personally, I feel that mine must be, like, I had an MRI and there wasn't like a compression like some people have. And I feel like mine may be triggered by inflammation or something of that nature.
Sure.
Okay. And Britt, how has lupus affected your everyday life? You know, you did mention that you sun is an issue, but are you able to work? What adaptations have you made for that? Are you able to participate in recreational activities, and has it affected that and other leisure pursuits?
This is a question like a lot of newly diagnosed people actually often ask me. It's really drastically affected my everyday life. I think that I would probably be a liar if I said it didn't. But I'm 33 now, and I'm a wife and mom to, you know, two young boys. And some days it's hard to keep up with their energy and, you know, their activities with school and after school activities. And honestly, there are some days that it's hard to make it just out of bed. It definitely has affected my life. Learning to have to kind of manage around, you know, my symptoms and the kind of activities that we can do, whether, you know, it's in the sun or in the winter time. But on good days, I think that lupus has actually helped me to, like, remind me of the wonderful things that I do have in my life.
Right.
And it's made me a stronger person than, you know, I could have ever imagined. And fortunately, I am able to work part-time. And, like, I love to work. And so that was kind of, I think, going from full-time to part-time was kind of a hit to me personally, just because I do love working. And it gives me a purpose to get up, each morning. And I will say, though, that I mostly do work from home, like, these days, because, like, I can't use all my good spoons, you know, trying to get ready every morning and just to go into the office. And I could work from home. So, and leisure-wise, I used to be an avid runner and could run like 5 miles a day. And now I can barely even like walk one without being in pain. And it's always been like, I have really bad anxiety. So exercise is always a great, you know, like stress relief for me. And that's kind of a goal I have to one day like run again. But lupus definitely has taken a lot from me, but I just keep finding ways to try to make it work for me personally. I think I'm kind of stubborn in that sense, but I just won't give it all, you know, and try to just make it work around lupus.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's a good attitude. Yeah. Britt, I know that a healthy well-balanced, diverse diet is important for our health. What role does nutrition play in living with lupus?
I believe it plays a huge role in living with lupus, along with really any other chronic illness for that matter. With that said, though, I do struggle with this, as a lot of people do. But I have worked really hard, especially in the last year, of learning to make healthier choices and paying attention to foods that may increase or decrease inflammation. And one of the easiest changes that I personally did was adding turmeric to my diet every day to help reduce inflammation. But one of the hardest was for me was breaking up with garlic. It really does cause a huge difference in joint pain and swelling. And honestly, I didn't want to believe it. But after I did some experimenting and I did some symptom tracking, I really couldn't deny it. So I had to cut out the garlic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and garlic is kind of in everything.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So what is the best advice that you've received from somebody else or fellow advocate regarding lupus?
That's a great question, and it's one, honestly, that I've heard from a lot of patient advocates, and it's that basically no one will ever truly understand what it's like living with lupus unless they are living with lupus. Our friends and family can be supportive in many ways, but people just won't truly, truly understand what it's like to have lupus, and I think that once you kind of figure that out and you believe that, it makes it a lot easier on yourself because you're not expecting others to kind of be on that same level as someone, who did have lupus would be. And that's kind of the reason I advocate so much for joining online support groups, so that people know, you're not alone in your journey. You just have to find your people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And is lupus something that can get worse depending on the time of year?
For me personally, summer is hard because of my photosensitivity issues. I discovered, a new love of sun protective clothing, which makes life a lot easier when you're trying to, do anything outside in the sun. Wearing broad spectrum sunscreen is a must. But even in the winter, you should be, using sunscreen. But honestly, for me personally, I feel that my joint pain is a lot worse in the winter. Okay. And it makes outdoor activities hard. And with the stress of the holidays, the winters honestly seem to be more of a struggle for me, I think, personally.
I could understand that.
And are you living in an area with a moderate climate, or is there a real fluctuation?
I'm in Ohio.
Oh, okay.
So the winters are, yeah.
Winters are rough. Midwest. Okay.
We're from Chicago, so we understand that.
Yeah.
How have your family and friends supported you on this journey with lupus?
My family has actually been really amazing in their support in my lupus journey. I would say that my kids are my biggest fans. They literally make me feel like I'm a superhero, even though some days I definitely feel far from that. My husband, he's amazing, and he gives me my injections each week and kind of helps pick up my slack on flare days. And I honestly don't know if I would be where I am today without them. And the same can be said for my friends. They've been really supportive and encouraging, especially on hard days. But with that said, I have lost a few friends along the way. I learned early on it was kind of important to cut out extra stress and any sort of toxic relationships, and that has made a huge difference for me.
Well, yeah, friends and support goes a long way, and sometimes it's really underrated.
Sure.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And we've been reading your blog, Lupus Life. Spelled L-Y-F-E. Can you tell us, what inspired you to start a blog?
Well, it takes, about an average of 6 years for a person to actually get diagnosed with lupus. And a lot of people, fight for years to find out what's wrong with them. I mean, they may get told that there's nothing wrong with them, and they could feel like they're going crazy, and for years they have to deal with that, and not to mention the financial cost of having to, go through the diagnosis and all that. And it just presents so differently in many people that I wanted to share my personal journey, because it's a little out of the norm of what, some lupus patients may be. And I just wanted people to know that they're not alone, and that basically if any part of my story could help somebody get a diagnosis or help one of their loved ones, then that means the world to me, because it's I can take my lupus diagnosis and use it for good.
That's amazing. And thank you. I don't know if you hear that enough, but that's, you're making a big impact there. And so thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then Britt, I have one more question. What tips or additional advice do you have for someone recently diagnosed with lupus? If they, what's your first piece of advice?
It would be definitely to research as much as you can, to look at, places like the Lupus Foundation of America, the Lupus Research Alliance, and basically just gather as much information as you can.
Okay.
Like I mentioned, joining online support groups on Facebook are huge to kind of find your tribe and to keep learning about triggers and treatment options. And definitely you're allowed to seek second opinions if it's needed.
Okay.
And my biggest advice would be, do not be afraid to use your voice. I believe that our voices matter in healthcare and that we are our own best advocates.
That's great advice.
Well, Britt, thank you so much for coming on today and talking with us about lupus. I think our listeners will be inspired by what you've said. Before we end, though, how can we learn more about you?
You can definitely check out my blog at lupuslife.com, and that's life, L-Y-F-E.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at lupuslife with a Y, too.
Okay.
Good deal. We'll definitely have links for that on our website as well.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it was an honor speaking with you guys today. I thank you so much for allowing me to share my story and help raise awareness for lupus.
Yeah, absolutely. And we wish you all the best.
Yes. Definitely. And yeah, thank you for taking the time. We know you are very, very busy. So we really do appreciate you taking
the time.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast.
Please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.